I love this meeting. I've been in the ministry now about 10 years. It's bittersweet. The first time I ever went to rehab, and 1985 for the first time. And I was not a first time winner to the program. I went at the place called the South Unit, Parkview Hospital. Lady named Eileen Brackett. I met her. She was the director, clinician there. And we got to be pretty close and pretty good friends. You know, I wasn't doing anything right in the program, you know, but I was pretending. I had a good face on. You know what I mean? I was on the first floor. So I was sneaking weed in through the door, through the window. My girl's bringing weed, and I'm messing around trying to sneak off into the different girls' rooms and off into different places. You know, that's the person I was. I was a dope fiend and a pervert. All those things that went with drug addiction for that, I was all those things. And I went into rehab because I was about to lose my job. I was working for a place called Hip Skin Concrete. About to lose my job and my family and those things. So I went in there to get those problems off. But I didn't go to get help because I didn't know what help was, and I didn't realize that I had a problem. I was just a guy who liked to have fun. And getting high was fun to me. Getting high and acting a fool was fun to me. You know, being at the different venues where the different things went on was fun to me. But anyway, of course, I didn't make it. I went through for a while. I didn't make it. I ended up leaving the place and so many other people. I seen Eileen some years later. You know, because I really liked Eileen. And I said, hey, how you doing? And we hugged and talked and embraced. And I said, Eileen, what are you doing now? You still out there parked at the South Unit? And she put her head down, shook her head. She said, no. I said, why not? And she looked at me and she said, Lyle, it's too depressing. She said, nobody makes it, Lyle. She said, when you left, it brought tears to my eyes. And not just you, so many like you. Years later, I look back, and even in prison, you know, when I got saved May 21st, 2011. I went to prison after I got saved because I turned myself in to get the past things off of my life. For once in my life, I knew something different, something had changed inside of me. I knew there was no more partial. There was no more wanting to be. There was no more playing no games. I began to cry walking down the street. I wasn't in no beautiful church. I wasn't in front of no big pastor or no mega church. Wasn't a big choir singing when I gave my life to God. I was on the street, walking down the street. I had just broken a place. I was filthy, dirty, and walking down the street pushing the snowblower that I just stole. And God came for me. But I remembered, I looked back all the years I've been asking God to help me. I remember praying, Lord, why won't you do for me what you did for my mother and for my big sister? Because I watched their lives change, but I couldn't change. I would be in dope houses. I'd be so high, I'd be scared to leave and scared to stay. I'd be walking down the street after just breaking in someplace or running down the street, and I would begin to sing spiritual songs. I asked a pastor one time, I said, is that just the devil mocking God? He said, no, Lord, that's your soul crying out. I went through prison. I've been to prison several times. My earlier times in prison, I went through the first seed of the Black Gangster Disciples. I was going through there smacking dudes, acting a fool, selling dope, running the stores, the whole nine yards, the whole gamut, because that was what it was. But I would be in church. I'd be in the church services. I'd be in prison fellowship services all the time. But I wasn't living a nickel worth of nothing. But I could talk it. I knew the words. I knew the conversations. I knew the swag that needed to be to be in those places. And so I did, but the last time I went to prison, it was just something different. The last time I went to prison, man, they called me a snitch. They called me the police. They said I was scared. All kind of different things, you know what? And it didn't matter because I knew God had changed my life. I knew God had changed my life and I wasn't going backwards no more. See, because I joined a club called No Matter What. No matter what happens to me, I'm not going to do no dope. No matter what happens to me, I'm not going to steal anything else. No matter what happens to me, I'm not going to sleep with a woman that's not my wife. I refuse to do that. And hey, listen, and I'm not putting anything or blaming or criticizing or anything about anybody else, because that's where I am today. I'm not expecting you to be where I'm at, because it took me a long time. I turned 61 last Friday, and I've been saved now 10 years. I was saved. I even went to the hole. You know my last bit? I even went to the hole in prison. Went to the hole. Got lied on and went to the hole. I remember going out, walking down the sidewalk, and the people hollering, "Look at the preacher! Look at the preacher!" I remember that, man. But I kept my head up. And when it came time to have my hearing, nobody would come. Nobody would come to hear my case. You know why? Because they knew it was a lie. But the system had to stand by the system. But I serve a God whose authority, whose law supersedes the law. I serve a God who doesn't make sense in the courtroom. I serve a God that doesn't make sense in the hospital. I serve a God that just doesn't make sense in the face of tragedy out there on the streets. And so I sat there and I was a popular person among the staff down there because I had positions that I was okay and I was in the I was a elder in the church and all these things, and came and talked to me, and the lieutenant come down there and she said, "Nobody wants to do this." Say, because they want to find you guilty. They want to, the system wants you to be found guilty. She said, "But nobody wants to find you guilty." So nobody's going to want to find you guilty. So the guy comes in one day, finally, after days and days, I sat in the hole, he finally come in and said, "Well, what do you want to do, Kelso?" I said, "I want to go by the letter of the law." I said, "I want you to read my charge to me, read the witness statements against me, then I want you to listen to what I have to say, and I want you to make your decision." Well, I got through talking, the Lord showed up. The guy told me, he says, "Hold on, man. Hold on, I got to go." Now, this is unusual. This was the middle of my CAB, DHB hearing. He said, "I got to go. I'll be back." He closed his books and he leaves. No decision. Just leaves. He came back a little while later, looked at me, opened the paper up and put it on the desk. He said, what do you want to write down here? What do you want us to do?" I said, "I want you to do the right thing, man. Open that door. Let me up out of here." 20 minutes later, I had my clothes on, and I was out the hole. I say that because let me tell you something. I used to always want to try to fight with a lie. I would always want to call my buddies, my gang members, call somebody to come in and lie for me, somebody to do this for me. I had a woman down there who liked me. Used to come and get me out of bed at 2:30 in the morning. She's a shift supervisor. Get me out of bed too. I go in there. I thought the first time she called me, I thought that somebody had died in my family or something. You know, if you ever been to prison, you get that call at 2:30 that they want to see in the shift office. Knew I hadn't been in no trouble. So that's usually a bad call. I get down there, man, she got music playing down my, she's been watching me. That's another story. But let me share something what the word says. This is out of Corinthians 10:4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God that are pulling down the strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." When I was walking across that yard and Castle was screaming that junk, man, there's some dudes in there I knew I could have beat and broken half in 30 seconds. See, because I wasn't the docile human being that they thought I was at all. But I was a humble person at this point in my life. And I knew I still had that strength in me to do the things I needed to do, if I had to do it, but I wanted to prove to myself and to God that I was real. I wanted God to run my life. Either I was a changed person or I wasn't. The Bible says, how can you rob a strong man's house unless you first bind the strong man? How many men are sitting here today bound? See, I didn't understand, mister, I was bound. I didn't think I was bound. See, because I walked through the walls of Michigan City, my chest out with all the black gangster stuff, a little piece of knife stuck in my side, down here, and all those guards, like I was somebody tough. I wasn't nobody tough. So I went through the prison systems like that, man, and called the shots. They voted me the first seed of the Black Next Disciples in the joint for a while. So I'm calling shots. But when God humbled me, he showed me how I was bound. See, we don't even understand something. Samson, who God gave all that strength, was bound with lust. Andy, a big guy right here, I wouldn't want to tangle with Andy. But if Andy tried to fight me with Mitch on one of his arms and Marvin hold the other arm, I think I'd have a shot. If Andy allowed himself to get bound up like that. If you're going into a fight, and it says the weapons of our warfare, which means we're in a battle. It says put on the whole armor of God. Paul said, I fought the good fight. It's a fight that you're in. We got to stop letting ourselves be bound with fear, insecurities, drugs, illicit women, alcohol, cigarettes, gambling. Those things bind me. When I all of a sudden I'm getting high, and I'm the same guy hit home runs on every park I ever played in. Same guy dunked on every rim I ever played on. Same guy ran cross country. Same guy had knockout punch, breaking boards, fighting in karate tournaments all over town. I'm in the Three Rivers Festival and the extravaganzas all over town, breaking boards, showing out. I stopped putting the drugs in my system. I began to come bound. I began to get bound. Now I can't even protect myself. I can't defend myself because I'm allowing this drug to take from me. I'm allowing the drugs to rob my life. The things I should have, the prestige I should have, the happiness I should have, the peace I should have, the wife I should have, the home I should have, the job I should have, the bank account I should have, was all gone and dwindled because I'm like this. I can't fight. I can't stop you from taking things from me. The Bible says the horse leech has two sisters. Her name is Give and Give. Don't let the enemy continue to put the horse leech in your life to take the thing from you. Cigarettes. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. A lie and a trick of the enemy. How many people smoke more, pay more for smoking cigarettes than you do for your rent? Just keeping it real. How many people are staying in somebody else's house because you can't afford to get your own place, but you can spend $400 a month on cigarettes? It came to take from you. The word of God says you should know the truth and the truth will make you free. And I'm not trying to shame anybody. I just want somebody to know the truth. Because God told me you should know the truth and the truth will make you free. When I began to know the truth, I began to walk in my deliverance. I haven't been bound since. I haven't been bound. I haven't slept on nobody's couch. I haven't slept in nobody's basement. I haven't had to get on no bicycle or get on the bus line. Because God is taking care of me. He's taking care of me because all the gifts that he put in me have allowed to come back to the surface and do what they're supposed to do. There's not a person in this room, I don't believe, that's not gifted. But you got to allow God to break them shackles off. How are you going to run a race with chains on you? Aren't you tired of living and being substandard? So tired of having to need somebody to pay for me, pay my bill, carry me. And I'm not saying I didn't need help at first because I did. But God stepped in. I came home from prison. I had a job opportunity in Indianapolis to be working with this Chart Properties. It was a scam from the start. And I kind of wanted to believe in it because I kind of wanted to hang with this group of men. And I went down there. God didn't send me. See, sometimes you just go. And I went down there and I lost money. I lost everything. I went down there, man, and I was just frustrated and miserable. Now, face to face at that crossroads where the Lord said, what you going to do? See, because the old me had already talked to a few people. The old me was ready to go do some business down there. I said, man, let's go down there, man, and let's tear this place up. And I began to understand what I was saying. I was coming to faith-based mentoring, but I didn't stay because I wasn't ready in my mind yet. I still wanted to run things. I wanted to, but I went down there, and you know, I had to let it go. I let it go. Didn't have any money. Didn't have a lot of money. But I let it go. But then I began to stop and see God asked me, what is it you need, Lyle? I began to think, well, I'm living in a nice place. I'm living okay. I'm eating okay. Lord, my health is okay. You provided me with a nice car. I'm doing okay. So I don't really need for anything right now, God. But God had to teach me. See, there's people in this room who have been called to the ministry. You may not even understand it. You're going through something that don't even make sense to you. And it's foolishness to you. And you think it's silly. You think, man, I can get out of this foolishness because this don't even make sense. But you must need go through that to be who God wants you to be. So I get another call. This guy says, hey, I know a guy who owns Raging Cajun Restaurant. He got a food truck. He can open up 4 restaurants. He heard about you, and he wants you to come and work with him. So I went and talked to the guy. The guy said, listen, this is the only thing. I don't need no cook. See, I got a degree in culinary arts. You know, I'm certified in that kind of stuff. He said, I don't need no cook. He said, I need a partner. So I went to that for a while. Let's do this. But I hadn't consulted the Lord. This just sounded good. You know what I mean? It sounded good, and I went. I made a few dollars. That came to naught. All of a sudden, things started turning around, and it wasn't my fault, and I'm thinking, he started changing, and I couldn't figure it out. I said, Lord, what am I doing wrong? So then I do like most guys, a lot of guys I know, and I'm going to encourage somebody tonight with this. I did like some guys I know. I said, you know what? I'm a file for disability. I see guys out there on disability, you know, because, yeah, you've been locked up. And we will hook up with a Me Too fool in a minute. We'll hook up with what's called, I call a Me Too fool in a minute. A fool ain't going nowhere, and he tell you he ain't going nowhere. And the first thing he's talking about, well, yeah, me too, man. And now two fools ain't going nowhere. So now I filed for the disability. I sat down in the kitchen, wrote a letter. The people say, hey, go down here and see this guy here. I went and seen that guy there. 3 weeks later, see, everybody was talking about, I got turned down. The man sent me a letter, said, go out to the Social Security office immediately. Say, you have been granted disability. So I went out there, and I started getting that $700 a month. And I'm rolling in my mind. I'm going to tell you something. You know what the difference is in your lot in life and your destination? Your lot in life is where you choose to settle. Your destination is where God wants to carry you if you'll come on out of that foolishness. I got that old $700 for a while and for a year or two, and I thought about it. I said, God, look at me. I said, by that time, I think I was like 57 or something like that. 50. I said, Lord, I said, I'm still able to get up and do what I need to do. I said, there's nothing disabled about me. So when I said that, I called the disability people. I said, listen, don't send me another check. I'm not disabled. There's nothing wrong with me. Now God began to see what he had put in me. See, he already knew what he put in me. But now he began to Show me. And I began to understand that there's more to me in this. So I began to walk the streets at night with the 10-point coalition. I began to give back and begin to pray for people. And I began to try to minister to the homeless. I began to try to minister to the drug addict. I began to try to minister to the gangbangers and all these people out there. And as I began to do that, God began to fortify my life. The mayor's office called me. Said, we want to talk to you. Me? You know what I mean? Because I was a career criminal. I did 20 years in prison altogether. Career criminal. The mayor's office went with me. So I go down, talk to the mayor's office. The attorney general's there. So we start the thing called the 10-point coalition. And your name has come up. I'm thinking, what's that? I'm thinking, my mom already said that. Because, you know, both of us criminals, and you've been in this stuff, you know you did some stuff you didn't get caught for. You know you got away with some things. So I'm thinking, maybe they didn't call me now. So what did I do? I said, no. They said, people saying, tell us about your life and where you came from and how you standing today and what you're doing. And I said, wow. And I began to walk that out. Then they had a company. They said, we got a company out there called Shambaugh & Son. Said they have cultural issues out there. Said there are people threatening people in the parking lot. They can't, the turnover rate is horrible out there. And we need you to go out there and meet with the human resource lady for the city. Meet with the CEO of Shambaugh. Meet with the CEO, the human resource person. The mayor's office is going to be there. Now here I go into this room with my suit on. And here's all these people with titles in their name. And here's this old dope fiend. Here's this old dope fiend walking in this room. And I just began to listen to what they had to say. And I didn't open my mouth. I let God open my mouth. I began to pray to God, you've got to tell me. And when God got through speaking through me, that lady pointed at me and said, we need you out here. The mayor grabbed my hand. From under the table. Don't say nothing. And I was wondering what he meant by that. And he told her, well, we're going to get back with you. And he took me out. He said, listen, we're going to negotiate a contract for you. And then we're going to bring you in here. Part of my contract, in order for Shambaugh & Son to get me, now Marvin is my witness, in order for Shambaugh & Son to get me to work out there, they had to give everybody in the plant a $2 an hour raise. Don't dope fiend. I'm telling you what God will do in the life of an old dope fiend when you just surrender and say, hey, I'm tired. Lord, bring out those things in me that you put in me. Show me who I am. Unshackle me, Lord, with these lies and these things that never should be in my life in the first place. And he said this, and he showed me what they're going to pay me. I said, good Lord. The man, they gave me, a salary over everybody. And then they told me, he said, listen, now every Friday, they say, you got to work right now and start you off working 90% in the factory so you can learn it. He said, 10% you can go home or go outside the factory, go to the courthouse, do what you need to do. They gave me 40 applications, put it in my hand. They said, Lyle, you go bring 40 people in here. Say, I don't care about their education level. Say, I don't care about their criminal history. If your name is on that application, they got a job. That's what God will do in the life of an old dope fiend like me. Now, every Monday, I work from 7 to 11, and they clock me out at 3:30. That's what God will do. You know, running out of gas in my life. You know, and I don't say these things to brag, because you're talking about an old dope fiend who came home with two outfits and $50. When I got out of prison, I had two outfits and $50 when I got out of prison. Stacks. God made $100 bills. Well, God, I'm telling you, I have enough. He promised me, he said, you will be the lender and not the borrower. He said, you will be a head and not the tail. You'll be above and not beneath. Right? You know, I just proposed Saturday to my girl. Right now, my home, she said yes. She said, yes. Right now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not bragging. I'm telling you what God will do. He said, let my deeds be known among the people. I'm going to tell you, right, I have two cars and no car note. She got a car and no car note. I've got credit cards and I don't know a dime on none of them. All of them are up to the top. I'm not behind. My rent's paid up till, I don't know, November or something. Right now, her home is paid for. God has set me up in life to be able to live the life that I can enjoy my life and enjoy the fruits of my labor, because he knows my heart is intended to do what he's asked me to do. You know, and people try to use me. I go out at night sometimes. People call me. I made mistakes in the ministry. I did something in the ministry that I didn't do as a dope fiend. I tell that story with this girl that took me through a month. I'm not busting her in the face with my fist. And I'm talking about saved. And I cried like a baby. I'm not going to all circumstances, but God, and he raised me up. And he keep bringing me out of that dumb stuff. But he won't. I had to exhaust every excuse to allow myself to be bound. I'm just going to do this for just a little while longer. Why? Why? The Bible says, when the Lord sets you free, the Son sets you free, is free indeed. Every time you look in the Word of God, when he says, Jesus said that he healed his ankle bones. And the next verse always says, immediately he was healed. David was anointed king at 17 years old. He took the throne at 30. When was David the king? He was the king at 17. God has already called you to something. Why are you allowing yourself to be bound with that yesterday? That stuff that has never, stop and ask you, what has it ever done for you? What has it ever done for you? Business as usual. Business as usual. Business as usual. You keep doing what you always did. We always get what we always got. And then I used to use excuses like trees in the yard. I would hide behind them. I would hide behind them because I wasn't man enough to stand up like my father stood up and took care of his family. I wasn't man enough to do what Marvin did and worked all his life until he got a good retirement to take care of his family. I wasn't man enough to do what Pastor Martin does back there and minister the word and take care of his family. And I had to ask myself one day, and you need to ask yourself this, why not? Why not? God made me a man. He made me a strong man. And I refused to let my house get robbed. My woman talked to me sometime about, did you lock that door? I said, baby, I ain't thinking about that door. Well, I said, baby, listen, let them run up in here if they want to. There's a man in this house. Let them run up in here if they want to. There's a man in this house. And God protects my place. But we need to do that with all our lives. And I do that. I don't care how, sometimes I don't feel good. Sometimes I don't feel this, but I always answer the call of what God asked me to do. And God, somebody here tonight needs to hear that. The horse leech has two sisters. Their names are Give and Gail. Get the horse leech out of your life. The horse leech starts off like a mosquito. It's just a little bit. But after a while, it'll suck you dry. It'll suck you dry. Put those habits, hang-ups down. I'm going to say this. I'm going to close with this because I won't be all night. I was talking to my mom and a friend. My mom has been saved over 40 years. This friend been saved 20 years. And they were talking about how that they were still hurting and couldn't let go of how they were molested when they were children. You know, I didn't get into conversation at first because I've learned some things. I've learned to listen before I say things. When I first got in ministry, I wanted to talk before I listened. See, I wanted to answer questions before they were asked. So I had to learn to let the question be asked and then let God give you some answer. But they were talking about how they've been, well, that bugs them and all this and that. They almost began to cry. And I had to step back and say, wait a minute. Wait. I said, Mama, I said, you're a missionary. I said, Mama, you'd have been in I don't know how many prisons preaching. I said, Mama, you go down to the jail and preach. You go out on the streets and preach. And I told the other person, you're an aspiring missionary. I've listened to you speak. I've heard you and I've gone. I said, how can you preach to somebody about God can deliver them when he has delivered you? Why are you hanging on? Look, I've been shot in the head. I've been stabbed. I've been hit with baseball bats. 20 years in prison. None of that's holding me back today. That's all part of my testimony. None of that's holding me back today. I'm not afraid to walk down the street. I'm not afraid to go out in the middle of the night. You might see me out in the vest in the middle of the night walking the street. Not afraid because I got shot 20 years ago. So what? He let God made my mess, my message. My test, my testimony. And that's what we got to do. There's some strong men and women in here. And that's why the enemy tries to bind you. That's why he tries to bind you. Because if you ever get loose, if you ever get loose, if you ever get loose, the lives you're going to reach, the people's lives are going to change, the way your homes are going to change. It's just the move of God is going to be so powerful. But you got to know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Let's stand up and pray. Father God, we thank you. And we really do, Father. Lord, I hope that your message went through tonight, Father God, that someone was touched, someone was healed, someone would be saved, that a brick would be put in someone's foundation of the life that you're building for them, Lord, that there was a seed planted and maybe one watered, Father God, Lord, but now it's up to you to get it increased, Father. Bless us, Lord, as we go to our separate homes, Father God. Let our homes be in peace, Father God, and open our eyes that we can see you. Forgive us for anything we've said, thought, or done that wasn't of you, Father. And we be careful, Lord, to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God, and the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you.